Amen. In your Bible, stand with us if you would. The book of Ephesians. What a wonderful, wonderful book. Paul wrote some enlightening things in the book of Ephesians. Going to deal with one verse tonight. It's found in verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter number 1. Paul is writing and he says, I'll start in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints." I'm glad we can still hear of people getting saved in this day and this hour. And then he says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer." Wouldn't that be a blessing to be on Paul's prayer list? I'm glad I'm on some of your prayer lists. And then he says in Ephesians 1 and verse number 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Thank you for standing tonight, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Paul's heart was that we may know more about the person of Christ. I am convinced if we all knew more about the person of Christ, it would fix every problem that we have. Christ can fix every failing marriage tonight. Christ can save any sinner. Christ can fix any church. Christ can do anything tonight. And if we could just learn more about His person, is what Paul said. He said in order, one thing, he said, I wish... That you all knew how that I was so thankful that people was getting saved. There's not a lot of people getting saved today. Very few people are getting born again by the grace of God. What we experience in our church here Sunday, very few churches ever get to see what we've seen happen here. Matter of fact, the statistics are amazing at the lack of conversions in Baptist churches across America. Matter of fact, I think there's some 2,000 closed last year. It's amazing at the rate of pastors that's been put out of the race, that's just closed up shop and went to the house. But I'm glad we've got a church tonight where God's stirring and God is steering and God is still in charge. And I'm glad of that tonight. Paul said, "I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus." There is no other way to heaven tonight. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. "No man comes to the Father except by me," is what Christ said. All roads don't lead to heaven. If you're going to be saved, then you're going to get saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lady told me down in the mission ministry in Chattanooga, Tennessee last week. We went down there to the community food bank. What a sight to see street people living in that environment in Chattanooga, that the rescue mission. She looked at me and she said, "I wrote God an 8-page letter." God don't want your letter. He wants your faith. And God wants you to put your trust in Him. Many people think many things are going to get them to heaven if they give more Sunday, if they get baptized or they join a church. We're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's all by Calvary's cross of the blood that He shed for sinners. And so therefore Paul said, "I am glad that I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all of the saints." Can I tell you, it's still okay to love people. The other morning I preached on Jacob's ladder. Jacob had a tough journey. And Jacob laid down in some hard places, in some dark places. God handed him a ladder. And my main thought, my main theme of that sermon was, would you hold the ladder? I'm glad I go to church with some people tonight that hold a ladder. You better be careful not to point your finger at people in a bad place. We ought to just be holding the ladder trying to get them out of bad places. Amen. There's none good, no, not one. And if you have that Pharisee spirit tonight, you're not right with God. Religion is sending droves and droves to a devil's hell. You must be born again, is what Jesus said. Must be born from above by the Spirit of God. I'm glad He's still a saving old sinners. And so tonight we find out, He said, "I am glad of your love to all the saints." Can I tell you, just because people don't line up like me and you, don't mean they're not saved, don't mean God don't love them. Amen. I'm so tired of religious requirements. A lot of these independent boys, they've got some mean, they can't help nobody. You can't put measurements out there on the front door. Nobody at Liberty Baptist Church ought to be the church police. Somebody say amen right there. God catches fish before He ever cleans fish. Amen. And so I believe people ought to dress right, look right, talk right. I believe you ought to look and act like a Christian. But we all got to remember this. If God don't do it, it ain't going to get done. But that don't mean we can't preach about it. And I thank God for it tonight. He said, you love to all the saints. Isn't it amazing the love of God that passes all understanding? God wants us to love one another, for God is love. We hear a lot about, boy, I love you. Well, talk is cheap. I like what one of the writers said, boy, wouldn't it be a blessing? The greatest thing is when the mouth and the foot get in agreement. When the mouth and the foot get in agreement. The old cliche, don't do as I do as I say do. That's hogwash. We ought to try our best to live and do as we say do. And you know, I'm about tired of people putting somebody up on a pedestal. When they make one little bobble, then they forgot about that Jesus said, forgive one another as He has forgiven you. And so we better quit throwing stones. If I'm going to preach a sermon sometime on if you're throwing stones, you're losing ground. So Paul wanted them to know more about the person of Christ. The Bible said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, if we're going to know about Him, we do need knowledge. We do need the spirit of wisdom. We need to have an open mind and a teachable spirit. There's a lot of Baptists say, well, Grandpa said that's the way it was, but it don't line up in the Bible. I'd chunk it. You know, in playing golf, you can practice wrong all you want to and you don't get no better. You ain't never going to get better till you practice right. This book's right. I don't care what anybody told you. If it don't line up with this book, it ain't right. Man's got a lot of opinions. Don't mean they're right. What does Jesus say? How does Jesus say to run a church? How does Jesus say to do? He says, love one another. Love your enemies. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. You may be the children of the highest. This is a strict Bible. Come out from among them and be you separate. We live in a social culture. We live in a social world. We have a social president. I'm going to tell you, God's not all that social. He said, come out from among them and be you separate. Are we better than anybody? No, but we ought to have standards that we love one another. And you know something? If it's wrong for me to have a motorcycle, I'm not going to preach it. Brother Joe's wrong to have one. Brother Joe has one and enjoys it. Praise God. When you go up through Blue Ridge Park, I want you to throw your hands up and shout for your preacher when you go by. Amen. I asked Miss Renee, I said, honey, they've come out with that new two-wheel motorcycle on the front, one tire on the back. She said, I said, reckon I could have one of them. She said, no. No, that don't change nothing about what God done said. He done said you can't have a motorcycle. Forget it. We always hunting something to try to get by, to get over on Him, ain't we? You know why? Because we're human and we're dirty, rotten, flat. Let me tell you, honey, you're not near as high on the limb as you think you are tonight. Oh, we're just old, dirty, rotten sinners, everybody. Everybody here tonight ought to have been in hell. If it wasn't for the grace and the love and the mercy and the compassion of the Son of God that come to where we was and forgave us of our sins, put our names down yonder in glory land, we'd all be headed to hell tonight. Glory to Him. I say glory, glory, glory. Who are we to look down at any sinner tonight? I'm glad, honey, that He loves us in spite of who that we really are. Boy, we try to put on a show and put on a front. If I put behind me on this stage tonight what everybody would have thought today, what everybody would have said today, it would humble us, embarrass us. We'd all walk out of this church and never come back because we'd be too ashamed to come back. Let me tell you, God knows about all of that, but in spite of us, He loves us anyhow. So He said, I'm glad to hear your love to the saint. Boy, isn't it a blessing when our mouth and our foot get in agreement. And you know, the Bible says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What is wisdom? What is knowledge? I asked the Lord to try to give me some thoughts to clarify and make the teaching plain and applicable this evening. You know, knowledge may be learning your trade in a way of how to make money, but wisdom teaches you how to apply it. Knowledge, Brother Chad, will teach me about the intersections and driving standards. Knowledge will teach me about oncoming traffic, but wisdom tells me when to pull out. You can have all the knowledge in the world and no wisdom, then you really don't have anything. And He said, I wish that God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, we need wisdom. We need to know something about wisdom. In Proverbs 2, in verse number 6, Proverbs 2 and 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We should be praying that God give us wisdom. I pray many times, God, give me wisdom of an older pastor to know to do with what I need to do with what I have to do with. Looking back over my life, if I'd have had wisdom at 20 years old of a 50-year-old man, how I would have done things so different. Very important to surround yourself with people with wisdom. Smart people without wisdom, they cannot apply their knowledge. And God says that wisdom comes from Him. Proverbs 8 and verse number 11. The Bible says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired to be compared to it. I looked up in the Bible dictionary about wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Boy, it's a great mixture. Experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. How we need wisdom in order to apply. Our problem is a lot of times we don't ask anybody else's opinion about how to help us. Some of you young ladies, you ought to look around here, these older ladies, and ask them how they handled issues come up in their home. Some of you young men, you ought to quit running to the counselors out in the world and ask some of these gray-head and some of these bald-head men and say, how did you make it through your storm at your house? Some of the young ladies ought to be asking our young ladies, how did you get through that in high school? Well, we need wisdom tonight. Proverbs 8:14. The Lord said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Then He says in Proverbs 11 and verse number 12,
He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Got a little insight there, Brother Jerry. He that's void of wisdom despises his neighbor. Can I tell you, you need folk that join up on the landline with you. You may need them down the road. I always told them in the corporate world, you better be careful, honey. You better be careful on that ladder you climb and who you stepping on, because you may have to come back down and meet them again one morning. I need everybody joins our landline. And I done found out about my neighbor. She wasn't the problem. I was the problem. I done something nice, and she brought to me one of those strawberry shortcakes on Saturday evening. I mean, so big, three grown hogs couldn't eat all of it. I know one hog tried to. A little kindness goes a long way. He said a man's got wisdom. Said he better think about his neighbors. Tonight, how we need wisdom. Proverbs 16 and verse number 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Proverbs 24 and verse number 3. There the Bible says this. He says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. You know, knowledge will give a man sermon, but he needs wisdom on how to preach it. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 29, a Bible character appears that the Holy Spirit makes a mention. Solomon. 2 Kings 4, verse number 1 Kings 4 and verse number 29. 1 Kings 4 and 29. He mentions about Solomon. And he says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand is on the seashore. I'd love to stay around him a few weeks. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Esrite, Heman, Chakol, Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Verse 34, there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. There was a young pastor called me today. He's a school teacher. He said, Pastor, I'd like to get your advice on something. I walked in today and they've let me go. I don't have a job. I'm a bivocational preacher. Where do I go from here? We need wisdom not only to help us at our house, but to help somebody else's house. God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Can you imagine? There was nobody like Solomon in all the East or Egypt. He said he was wiser than all men. I'd love to have him on a few investments. Thus, anybody ever hollered, suey to a paycheck? There's an old boy in California this week down at the preacher's meeting. He didn't understand my vernacular. He couldn't understand Brother David Phillips got up and preached to Hack, and he said, "I've always heard about that, but that's the first time I've ever seen that." We got to play golf. And I know if you're a preacher, you're not supposed to enjoy life, but I do anyway. And he asked me, he said, "How far's that yardage mark?" I said, "You see that stob out yonder in the fairway?" He said, "What's a stob?" I said, "Down in the country, we drive them up in the ground. We call it a stob." Wisdom. How we need wisdom. Solomon was a man that prayed for wisdom more than riches. God gave him wisdom in such a way. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we, the people of God, would pray and say, "God, give me wisdom. I need wisdom." You young men, you need wisdom about your home. I realize trying to make money is a part of life, but it's not everything. Your God ought to be first at your house, and everything you do and everything you decide ought to revolve around Him first. Young men, number two, it's your wife and nobody else. It's not your children, it's your wife. Ma'am, it's your husband, it's not your children. One of these days, your youngins is going to leave. You're going to have an empty nest, and you're going to be left with somebody you don't even know. Oh, we need wisdom. Preachers, we better take care of our homes and our wives. If we don't have a home, we have no ministry. I tell you, and I'm going to hurt some of you's feelings here. I'll say this Sunday morning. I've purposed and I've determined. I took my last call to take me away from some panicky Baptist that their house ain't on fire to pull me away from my family on a Friday and Saturday night at the table. If you had done applied preaching, you wouldn't be calling me out in the hours of the night. I've done my job here the best I know to do. Now you apply it. I need family time. I'll never forget there was a man, my grandbaby had just been born. They handed me my grandbaby. I wished I had some things to do over and had wisdom. Somebody said that the house was afire. Somebody was dying. I just got my grandbaby. Handed it back to my girl. She said, "Daddy, you're kidding me, aren't you?" I said, "No, somebody's called. They need me right now." And drove down to a brawl. A fight broke out. They didn't need the preacher. They needed the police. And I didn't back up when I said none of that. That wife right yonder's priority. She's ahead of Liberty Baptist Church. You hear me tonight? I lose that wife, you have no preacher. She's priority. She's not been priority for a long time, but she is tonight. And if you don't like it, take your little whiny self on down the road. Jack. Preacher ain't supposed to have no special time. Where's that in your Bible? The Bible says respect those highly for the work's sake. Take care of them and love them. Pray for them. Support them. Stand for them. You got folks in your family putting mouth on your preacher, I tell them to hush. They operating out of a hurtful past is their problem. Your preacher ain't done nothing to them. He's preached to them the Word of God and nailed their hide and made them madder than a junkyard dog. Thinking that preaching don't apply to their house or their children. It applies to my children and your children and my house. You call me a hypocrite all you want, but you call and tell me and quit telling that behind my back. I don't know where all that come from, but it came. And I feel better about it all.
want to use a preacher for a little jack-in-the-box, a whipping post. A little errand boy, a water boy. Amen. God give us wisdom. Your God ought to be first in your life. Your family ought to be so close to you. Your church ought to be very important to you. You ought to back and support your church. Give us wisdom. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our 20, 30-year-olds had the wisdom of 50, 60, 70-year-old men? What kind of children could they raise? If our young ladies had the wisdom of 60, 50, 70-year-old ladies, I wonder what kind of different home could they have and enjoy for their husband and children. We need wisdom. We have a lot of knowledge, but limited in wisdom. He says that, I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom. And the revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you know who He is? Somebody said today on the bus coming back, said a lot of people, they love their church, but they're not in love with Jesus. Big difference. We need to get in love with Him. Put Him first on everything. And adore Him. Love Him. Who is Christ? Who is the Lord? He said, I wish that He would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Well, I want to tell you, He's the inspired Word. And to know Him, we must read this book. And it's a King James book. In my eyes, in my heart, there are no other. Not even worth you even looking to make another choice besides the King James Bible. You say, why, preacher? Because it worked for me. It got Grandpa saved. It'll get you saved. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 1, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 17, for the sake of time, we'll get verse 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. In other words, God is no respecter of prayer. He wants to enlighten you by the Scripture. I see somebody's Bible left on the front porch the other day. Brother Rodney was out working. I seen it hung up there. I said, well, nobody's studying their Bible this week, are they? You know where you look up here tonight. You know where your TV remote is. Where's your Bible? Oh, me. Knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake how? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This Bible's an inspired book. It's the book of all books. It's going to stand when the world's burning. It can be trusted. And out of it all blessings flow. We know Him as the inspired Word. We know Him as the incarnate Word. God manifested in the flesh. 1 John chapter number 1. Jehovah Witness thinks He was a good man. It goes a lot further than that. He was God-man. Born of a virgin. Born in a lowly stable. Came and walked through this world as man. But yet He never knew sin. The spotless Lamb of God. 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes,
which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. Could you imagine talking to John, had been with Jesus and laid on His bosom and listened to His heart? Matter of fact, John must have been some kind of man, because Jesus turned to him and told him to take care of his mother after he got down off of that cross. John must have been some more preacher. He wasn't worried about his name on a sign. He wasn't worried about his name on a bulletin book to preach. He simply went and did what God told him to do and took care of Mary, the Lord Jesus' earthly mother. Could you imagine seeing them on the front porch rocking in their gray hair and walked up and got to talking to Mary and John? That would have been worth a trip over to sit on the porch. He said, our hands have handled and our eyes have looked upon the Word of Life. Let me tell you, this Word brings life. Who is the Lord? Well, in Exodus 15 and 3, you can write them down, we won't turn. It says, He is a man of war. Numbers 14, the Bible said, the Lord is long-suffering. Aren't you glad? Amen. 1 Samuel 2, verse 3, he says, the Lord is knowledge. 2 Chronicles, the Lord is righteous. Psalms 19, the Lord is perfect. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad He's mine. Psalms 34, the Lord is good, and He's so good He can do no bad. Psalms 89, the Lord is our defense. He is our stronghold in the day of trouble. Psalms 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, and you better be glad He is. Psalms 118 and verse number 6. I'm going to turn there just because I need to tell the devil tonight. Psalms 118 and verse number 6. You ought to underline it in your Bible. He said, Lord, somebody shout right here, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what can man do unto me. You ought to underline that, the Lord is. I punched that in concordance on computer. Brother Tim, it lit up everywhere. I said, Lord, who are you? And he said, just read this, who I am. He said, the Lord is on my side. And if He be for you, who can be against you? Psalms 121 and verse number 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Psalms 145 and verse number 9. You know that old drunk on the street? Look what the Bible says. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His work. God's been good to you, friend. You say, preacher, we ain't got much in my house. Well, let me tell you, you know where the little Watts family is in Louisiana tonight with a 6-year-old lying there unconscious, and I see you. Don't take you long to look down the road, Brother Joe, and no car you driving looks pretty good when somebody passes your house. Brother Tim, it looks pretty good, them pictures you showed me Sunday, where we took clothes to the little old school kids. Everything they had got blowed away. Pulled up a little old shirt. Had the arms rolled up above the elbows because it's so long. But I'll tell you one thing. When I get to looking around, I see really what God's done for me. I get to whining a lot of times about the church I pastored. I look around and look and see who God's put here. God's blessed us. God is good. Turn around and tell somebody about it. And I said, God's good to us. Ted, God's good to us. Tell them God's good to us. God is good to all. Boy, I love this. Psalms 145 and verse 18. I sure am glad I found this. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. As a matter of fact, you're not going to get no help till you come clean with Him and call on Him in truth. Isaiah 33 and 22, the Lord is our judge. We better be careful about how we're judging somebody. Because in Isaiah 33, it reminds us, I'm not your judge and you're not mine, but the Lord is. Isaiah 33, verse number 22, for the Lord is our judge. Amos 9 and 6, the Lord is His name. He's Lord. And He said, there's coming a day that every tongue would confess and every knee will bow that He's Lord of lords and King of kings. Second Corinthians 3 and 17. Here's a verse I don't know if you've heard in a while. Second Corinthians 3 and verse number 17. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, I'm glad He's here tonight. Glad we have liberty to preach. You see that? God, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Brother Mike, you remember the little storefront days? Remember the days in you and Miss Sheila's house? What kind of Holy Ghost wrapped that place up? Boy, I'm glad that the Lord followed us from there to here. Sunday morning, wasn't it wonderful the Spirit of God come in this place? Isn't that wonderful? Sunday night, we just sat in here to start. Did you sense the Spirit of God that's flooded in this place? We begin to weep them hot tears. That's what I like. I love it when them hot tears start flowing. And that's when you'll embarrass yourself. Some of y'all need a good embarrassing. You're too religious and think too much of yourself. Don't you know if you cry a little, your head won't swell near as bad. And lastly, 2 Thessalonians 3. Who is the Lord, preacher? 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then in James 5 and 11, the last place I put it down tonight, he says, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I'm glad He loves us tonight. I want to say this. I'm thankful for what He's doing for us. Amen. I won't go on and tell you this. I told you one flip side of the coin. I'll tell you the other side up before I leave. If you need this preacher and you need this preacher, you call this preacher. You see that assistant pastor sitting right there? If you need him, you call him. We're here to minister. We're here to help. You see these men sitting around this building? They're here to help you. You see these ladies? They're here to help you. We got to help one another.
And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If the house is burning, call me. I'll bring the fire hose. But don't sit there and fan it and tell me it's a blazing. Y'all get what I'm saying, don't you? Y'all do know you can call your preacher if you need him, don't you? You do know that, don't you? Thank you. Stand with us.